Good evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters, and our Paradigm Shifter tonight is one of our favorites, Linda Sherman, who's a wonderful astrologer, and she's the mother of soothsayer.com, a wonderful blog that'll tell you what's going on the planets and in the stars and in Mother Earth and in each one of us. Oh my goodness, Linda, you have a big job. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. It's such a pleasure to be on your show, Veronica.
I always enjoy our conversations, and I have some questions for you, but one of the things I wanted to ask you is for myself, and out of curiosity, because you're so good about the planets and where they are and the squeeze, or yeah, how I perceive it is the squeeze when for example, we've got Saturn and Neptune up on your soothsayer. You were talking about
yeah.
them. But what I do in the context of that, what vibrational or frequency kind of pressure or whatever it is going to be different than what someone else does. Am I right? And also, in your book, Fast Forward, when you're talking about the kind of evolving beings that are possible, and the question I love to ask is, does it mean that we all can come out with a different conclusion, but maybe the massive numbers of people on the planet will kind of designate what the overall conclusion is? Is that kind of what you'd say?
Yes. Well, my feeling is with these planetary patterns, first of all, if they absolutely line up in a certain way with your own individual astrological chart, you're going to feel it much more personally. But these things are also felt collectively. And I always feel that there is a message in the stars, a message with the planets, that they're telling us something. For instance, the Saturn-Neptune square right now is telling us that this bogus economy is coming to an end.
Woo.
And I think people are seeing it. This is why in this presidential election we have two outsiders that are ahead of everybody else, Bernie Sanders and Donald Trump, that they're in defiance of the in a sense, what we would call the norm or the insiders and how they manipulate the political situation and the economic situation. And people are recognizing with Neptune, which is often symbolic of, has a range of symbolism from imagination and fantasy to being completely fooled, being in chaos, and being lied to.
Oh, wow. So it's illusions, right? And dreams.
Yeah, it has to do with illusions. And when Saturn comes along and squares that or collides in a tense aspect, Saturn says, hey, you've got to come out of your coma, come to and realize that you've been had here. And you need to face the realities of your existence in the economy, broadly speaking. We have borrowing on margin and massive debt that is historically unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
We have stock market participation. People are buying, the companies are buying back their stock. It's really not happening. It's the companies to keep those prices up. Stock buybacks are at a record
high. Well, that doesn't make sense, does it?
Yeah, well, it's because they're still trying to keep the illusion going. There's $1 trillion in stock buybacks, and the price-to-earnings ratio is ridiculous at all-time highs. We have...
well, wait a minute. You were talking a lot last time we spoke about derivatives, and that was so scary. This is like that, only worse, isn't it?
Yes. This is all the other things, in addition to the quadrillion, literally, $800 trillion to $1 quadrillion being traded in derivatives, which are nothing more than bets, which is where all the money, most of the money in the global economy has gone. The home, just bring it home to our listeners, home ownership is the lowest in 50 years. It hasn't been this low since 1967. $46 trillion wealth transfers with the baby boomers retiring. So they're going to be out of the earning economy and spending economy. Hmm. We have what is called a dwindling velocity of money, which is money moving through the economy. And also we could expect to see the demise of the dollar as the global currency. Hmm. We have witnessed China's stock market crashed in July. Germany, Deutsche Bank, the biggest bank in Europe and in Germany, is close to being insolvent. What their debt is larger than the GDP of Germany.
And look what happened with Volkswagen, which is one of their...
Yes, and Volkswagen is a kind of a showpiece of what is going on here. But the banking system is in terrible, terrible trouble.
Oh, wow.
And we have all over the world, this is not just the USA. The USA sometimes looks better by comparison because you have the Greek, practically the collapse of the Greek economy, and you're going to be followed by Spain and Portugal and Italy. And all of this, all of the abuses that brought us nearly off the cliff in 2008 have not really been corrected.
Hmm.
So when you talk about an illusion with Neptune squaring Saturn, which is reality, we're starting to wake up. And my feeling, we've talked about this very often, is we need to face these things in order to fix them.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you a really difficult question because it smacks of my own idealism hitting the floor. But was Obama a trick? Was he a Neptunian Fig Newton of our imagination when he came in? Because he seemed to have so much promise, but in the way you're speaking now and the other things we know about life, it seems that he was just a part of the great charade or the great scamming that went on. You see what I mean? Isn't that heartbreaking?
Yes. Well, you know, I think that Obama is a very complex, we're going to see him in the future as a very complex person. In the sense he has Neptune squared to his son. So, yes, in answer to the Neptune situation, he's got that. But in recent history, most of the presidents have had Neptune to the sun. In the old days, they had Saturn to the sun, which is hard work and responsibility. Now it's Neptune to the sun, which often represents scamming and using the media and being like a movie star and projecting symbols and ideals, whether they really believe in them or not. Everybody, Ronald Reagan was right. He said, in today's world, you have to be an actor to be president, which he, of course, was.
Of course.
I feel this way, that Obama was ambitious and wanted to do this, and the banksters got into his campaign toward the end of his campaign. I know this for a fact because I spoke with a person who managed in 2008, who was managing his West Coast fundraising. And she said all of a sudden J.P. Morgan, Chase, and Goldman Sachs started contributing large amounts of money to him. What is shocking to me is how Obama, McCain, who ran against him at that time, and also so many of these other candidates seem to know nothing about how we've been scammed and fooled and all of these horrendous statistics and how we're disintegrating, and they seem to not really know. And he got hit with something that was not his doing initially. It came out, it was Clinton and Bush, because it was in the Clinton administration, they dumped the Glass-Steagall Act, which separated investment banking from regular mortgage banking, and that was the beginning of the end in the 1990s. Mm-hmm. And then Bush blew all of this up as well and got us into the war in Iraq, destabilizing the entire region.
And who was the one who instigated the removal of the Glass-Steagall Act? I remember I was in media.
Roosevelt, it was under the Roosevelt administration after the crash and the Great Depression of the 1930s. that the Glass-Steagall Act was passed so it would never happen again. And then guess what? In the 1990s, the Republicans persuaded Bill Clinton, or bribed him, or whatever you said, and the people that he had, Alan Greenspan and Robert Rubin, who was the head of the lot, and Lawrence Summers, these three entities, I call them, were behind the massive deregulation of Wall Street and the huge, huge bubble of global derivatives trade. And they all saw a chance to make themselves huge fortunes.
Well, Clinton had some role in that as well, and he still maintained his role as a hero.
Oh, yes, he capitulated to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was Clinton, it was Bush, and then Obama walks into a situation like this. But he's recently been financed. I think he really was having a love affair with these guys, like Lawrence Summers, the leftover from Clinton. He was having a real, he was mesmerized by these guys, thinking, boy, are they powerful, boy, are they smart. Part of it was just plain naivete. I think that he's a mixed bag because he's done some positive things. He's done some good things, but he also has been all these
banks. He's been a patsy in some ways.
Criminal acts. Yes. J.P. Morgan, Goldman Sachs, all the. And what they do is they get prosecuted, they get convicted, and they get a slap on the wrist fine, and they go right back to doing what they were doing before.
And they never go to jail. Tell me this, like, there's a machine running behind the scenes, so now we've got a crazy election thing, and a lot of us are kind of excited about Bernie Sanders, but one of my questions of you is by Emmanuel, who's a very smart young man, and he's saying, I'd like to know what the role of Bernie is in all this right now. I think we're all kind of cynical, like, okay, what's going on? Thinking of Obama.
Well, I happen to think because of his entire history, if you look back at his history,
yes,
he
has
stood
doing that,
for these values over and over again throughout his career. I think he's a decent, honest man. He's intelligent. He knows what's going on. The problem is he's up against the machine, like the Hillary machine.
Right.
He's up, as you said. And I think he feels he'll either get elected or he'll push Hillary, which he has already done, more into his camp. That Hillary, the positions she is taking now are moving right toward Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, because at the debate the other night, she was very much espousing his kind of thing, and I thought,
exactly.
Will she hold on to that if she's the one who gets
right
in?
He has changed her direction.
Yeah.
And whether or not he gets elected president, his role has been to make the public aware of how they've been screwed.
Right.
And what we can do about it. And he has a message of hope. But I feel that between now and 2020, in this time period, there are a number of things. There's going to be a crash to end all crashes in 2017. And in the meantime, this year, the end of this year, and going into next year under the Saturn-Neptune square, I'm predicting that the real estate bubble is going to break. They created another bubble.
Right.
Not the average person who can't buy houses anymore. They don't make enough money or they don't have a large enough down payment.
Mm-hmm.
But the big millionaires went up and bought these foreclosures, fixed them up, and either flipped them at higher prices or turned them into rentals. And now the price of housing throughout this country and the price of renting is astronomical and
it is
an unprecedented
terrible.
Historic high.
I know.
Again, they bought it up and pushed the prices up, and so that Bernie Sanders is making us aware of what's been going on and giving us some hope that eventually we'll be able to fix this down the line. And I think that's his purpose, whether he is elected president or not. He's out there. He's on the media. People like him.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel he's a really wonderful figure in politics today.
But I keep thinking he's bringing the elephant in the living room right up and putting a new hairdo on it and dressing it up so we can all see.
Well, I do feel that people now know. They just don't understand all of these things. Another thing
is... Yeah, but people are suspicious, and that's probably quite healthy.
Yes, but the problem is then they get worked up over immigrants, and they get worked up over taking my guns away. And, you know, all this anger and frustration gets misdirected instead of understanding these are the big banks and the CEOs of giant corporations, the creation of this absolutely disastrous Trans-Pacific Trade Agreement.
That's
corporations
terrible.
The legal authority
to
sue any local, nation, municipality, state, which has a law against what they are doing. It's like the cigarette companies are suing certain regions for outlawing smoking. The gas companies could come in and sue us for outlawing fracking.
So why is Obama going for that? That is so scary.
It really, really is. And it makes me feel that he got it really very closely allied with these people.
Mm-hmm.
That they have convinced him somehow that these things have to happen, that this globalism has been a disaster. Trade is great, but globalism, as it's been presented to us in the past 25, 30 years, has been a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
It's taken jobs out of our country, and they use low-level labor in other countries that work them to death at practically nothing, and they say they're raising the standard of living. Not really, because these people can't get beyond that level.
Mm-hmm.
If they want a higher wage or a better job, then that corporation leaves that country and goes to a poorer country.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes on and on. It gives corporations the ability to circumvent the rule of law, to be almost like a monarchy, an international monarchy of corporations that are above and beyond the laws, and that citizens and countries and locales can't protect themselves against getting sued in this international tribunal.
Hmm.
This part of that agreement, have you ever heard it discussed on television?
No.
And this is my point. Neptune, deception. Saturn, reality. They're coming together, and people are being forced to face the reality that this economy is absolutely moving toward from bad to worse.
Mm-hmm.
And now I said the real estate market. Secondly, the bond market, which is the biggest market in the world, is in major trouble.
Wow.
Interest rates have been held down so low and for so long, and we have to understand that the Brazilians, the Chinese, all of these people who have bought American Treasury bonds and everything, there's been a 44% decrease. They have been getting out of our bond market. And we've been, again, like the corporations are buying back their stock, we're buying back our bonds.
Wow.
And that doesn't make any sense.
The same
sense
token,
either.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so what we're going to see, two areas between the end of this year and next year, is we're going to see the bond market in trouble, and we're going to see the real estate market in trouble.
Well, before you leave the bank area, I want, because it's all connected too, and you said the banks are going to be in trouble. What can happen? Can they collapse, and does the whole thing fall apart? What happens then?
It could. It's like we all have a kind of what they call a cognitive dissonance.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at these things that could be so bad that we could wake up one morning and all the banks have closed and we can't get a dime out and everything. I think that the Federal Reserve and the government will do anything in the world to keep that from happening. Even if they have to make up something, even if they have to have a what they used to call a jubilee or a massive debt forgiveness, or it's more likely they're going to have a restructuring of the meaning of the dollar, the worth of the dollar, our currency, our debt. I think somebody somewhere has got a plan. They have to have a plan, because you can't tell me these people aren't smart enough to know what's going on here.
Maybe it's just God that has a plan.
Yeah. Well, I do believe that if we look at these things as lessons that we need to learn in order to evolve, in order to have a greater society, in order to care about each other, in order to have an economy that works for people, mm-hmm. that is...
Now, this is a joke. A lot of people just can't make it. Mm.
Well, and the cost of a college education. It's like Bernie Sanders is outlining every single one of these issues.
I know. And he's doing a good job at that, yeah.
He really is. He mm-hmm. stands up there. He never gets off. It's not about his ego and all this. Mm-hmm. It's about the issues. And he goes over and over and over them, like a teacher, a professor, presenting them so that people will get this.
And most people I know listen carefully. Did you hear even Warren Buffett said there's nothing he's saying that isn't just bang on? You know, I don't think you'll vote for him, but then he did say that.
Well, Warren Buffett is a Democrat.
Well, he's also
whoever
real.
The Democratic nominee is, whether he votes for Bernie or Hillary in the primaries is another thing. See, the key...
But at least when a man like that stands up and says, Bernie is not saying anything that's not believable. He's saying the truth.
Warren Buffett is one of the billionaires I've always liked. He's the one in the early 2000s said the Republicans are always talking about dumping taxes. The rich aren't paying taxes. They're offshore, shamelessly offshoring taxes. And Warren Buffett says, you know something? My secretary pays more of her income in taxes than I do, and I'm the richest man in the world. He said that.
Wow.
He said, this is a disgrace. So Warren Buffett has been on the side of right.
He really has, yeah. There's a whole bunch of other things. One of them is global warming. And like when you're talking about the banks and the real estate and so on and so forth, but the whole atmosphere is changing in such a way that's going to is causing quite a bit of destruction already. Do you want to talk about that a little bit? And I have some questions from people.
Yes, in both of my books, I spent quite a bit of time on global climate change.
Right.
And my feeling, I keep reading the science that's coming out. And we are on a trajectory for extinguishing most, if not all, life on Earth at the rate we're going now with the use of fossil fuels and the toxins and the things we put in. The scientists are telling us, and the Arctic is melting. Alaska is melting.
Mm-hmm.
However, I've always felt that there might be a, quote, act of God, in quotation points, mm-hmm. or something we're not looking at that may alter this. And I always had a gut feeling about this. The Jupiter-Saturn conjunction in December of 2020, which is in Aquarius, and then Pluto goes into Aquarius in 2024. And this is when huge breakthroughs, we're going to have nuclear fusion, we're going to get in the age of fossil fuels, there's going to be all kinds of breakthroughs in science that's going to solve. But the global climate, the warming would continue to go because of the amount of carbon that's already in the atmosphere. So I thought, what is this? And then it occurred to me that there's a couple of things. One I talked about in my first book, and the second one I'm talking about now. And one is when you have an Arctic melting in the northern Atlantic, all this fresh water comes in and interrupts the salinization of the ocean water and slows down or stops what they call the thermohaline currents. The biggest one we're familiar with is the Gulf Stream. The Gulf Stream, this is responsible for keeping our continent and northern Europe mild enough to live. The mini ice age was preceded by a couple hundred years of major global warming. And they think that the melting caused a disruption, and then they had 300 years or so of the mini ice age.
Hmm.
So that's one thing. The other thing that occurred to me was that we could have what is called an extended maunder minimum. A maunder minimum is when the sun dies down and has many fewer storms on it, which heat up the earth. Hmm. We've had recently a maunder maximum, which is, you know, but not as much. It was kind of a bust as a maximum because it wasn't that big a deal. I just read online that one of the leading sun scientists, sun plasma astrophysicists in the world, she presented a paper a couple of months ago at the University of Northumbria, which says we're headed for an extended global mini ice age because we're going to have an extended maunder minimum from approximately 2030 through 2045. I think that maunder minimum is going to start sooner. So we may actually have, in many parts of the world, some parts will continue to get warmer and melt and become suffer from severe droughts and severe heat. I mean, last summer, Iraq, 150 degrees.
That was ridiculous.
By the way, their rivers are dry. The Tigris, Euphrates, and Nile rivers are all drying up in the Middle East, and part of this meltdown is literally a meltdown for them.
Oh.
But we could have, in North America and in Europe, we could have a mini ice age that could come about. Now, the mini ice age with the maunder minimum could, as severe as it might be in many places, and tough to get through the winters, and you know, it could give us a reprieve with the global warming. It could offset that these cooling, natural phenomenon of cooling could offset the warming for long enough so that we could address solving these problems. That's my take.
You know, this is a big jump. This is a big jump, but, you know, I do a lot of interviews, as you know, because you're having one. But one of the things that happened in my visions one time is this whole concept of a big atmospheric shift being placed around the world. And I thought, well, what's doing that? It's like a big skin or, you know, if you heat up milk and it gets a skin on it. It was kind of like that. And I thought, So I asked a fellow who channels an ET, and he said they were already creating such a thing. Now, I don't know what's true. I'm just telling you what. But I guess what it reminds me of is that we don't know. There are possibilities we can't even imagine, right?
So you have gotten that some extraterrestrials are interfering with the orbit of the Earth in a certain way?
Yeah, or they were putting a kind of a skin to protect the atmosphere and help it create a healthier, I guess, temperature and so on, or more stable.
Well, it could be some advanced beings with advanced technologies have been figuring out how to undo a lot of the damage that we have done. That's certainly a possibility. It's
that is
not
a
within
possibility.
My realm as an astrologer,
no.
To talk about that, because I'm just looking at the planetary cycles and then the science and the statistics, you know, the facts as I see them.
Well, I just threw that in because you were saying, and we don't really know what else could, you know, so I thought, well, I'll throw that
exactly,
in.
Exactly. It's nuclear. Yeah. See, I feel with all of our efforts, we have solar panels on our roof, and we're doing everything we can to contribute to sustainability, and but we're into local organic farming, and there's a lawsuit now against Monsanto for Roundup. Thank God, they may have a very good case at having poisoned, you know, the bees and the pollinators, and maybe behind all kinds of diseases that we're developing, and the industrialized farming people, and what they've done to destroy our health. And there is an awakening that is happening. The tide is turning.
So you can see that astrologically?
Yes, I see it astrologically, and I see it. People are starting to wake up in many places. And if there's some extraterrestrial activity to help us preserve life on this planet, our own included, I would welcome it.
Me too. And I also know this, and I think you've written about this in Fast Forward from a slightly different verbiage, but there are many, many beings waking up on inside of themselves and becoming more of what you called here an advanced species.
Yes. And, I feel that our destiny, if we don't kill ourselves first, our destiny is evolution of our species.
Exactly.
And you don't need to be a genius to figure this out. Because you see, the whole history of life on this planet has been evolution. But I feel that we're at a very, very crucial time in human history, that we're either going to go extinct or we're going to evolve into an advanced form of ourselves. Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of technical people are saying, oh, we're going to replace ourselves with robots or robotic brains or, you know, with all this technology. But I'm not sure it's all about that, because there's a tendency to worship mechanistic materialism in our society and call it science, mm-hmm. without acknowledging what's behind everything.
Mm-hmm.
The energy.
I agree with that.
What we would call the divinity, the source of all creation, behind all of this. We're looking at the mechanics. We're looking at the outcome. We're not looking at the source of creation itself.
You know, something funny, I'm saying the same thing from a different perspective, but I keep thinking that all of this technology, you know, here we are communicating over these little machines all the time and cell phones and stuff, and I go, all that is practice so that we can be intuitively linked and we don't need the machines. It's like training wheels.
It could very well be. See, I think we fall, it's like the old golden calf, you know, that the Israelites were worshiping when Moses came down the hill with this higher law, and they were jumping around a golden calf. We worship our material existence. We worship the money. We worship the machines. We worship this technology, and much of it's soulless, and we go along feeling hollow inside, like T.S. Eliot's The Hollow Men, famous poem. I think what we can create and be a part of is virtually limitless in terms if we think of time and space as a continuum as opposed to a prison.
I think individuals are limitless too. I think we could be way beyond what we are, but it takes a lot of practice and study and all that, doesn't it?
Yes, Veronica, and I think that at each turn there's going to be a lot of times when things come and hit us in the face and we say, oh my gosh, you know, this is not what I thought, and I have to get past this. Tragedies come along in our lives. Victories come along in our lives. We have to just keep trucking.
Yeah, we do, and we don't know what success really is. I want to jump around and ask you a few questions.
Yes.
Is that okay?
Absolutely.
Because some of this stuff we're talking about, I'm really excited about. But on the earth plane, for example, Marilyn asked if she heard that it's dangerous, and this is relevant to a lot of people's questions, actually. She heard it was going to be dangerous in March on the planet. And do you see that in the stars? And will it be worse in Washington or Arizona? That was her question.
Okay, she may be thinking about, there are two eclipses in March. There's a full solar eclipse on March 9th.
Okay.
And then there is a lunar eclipse at the end of March. One is at 18 degrees of Pisces, and the other is at 3 degrees of Libra. Now, these same two eclipses took place in 1997. Interestingly enough, so everybody go back and think about what they were doing.
I'm trying to remember what 97 was like.
In 1997, eclipses reoccur approximately every 19 years.
Okay.
Sets of eclipses occur. I feel that not just about the eclipses in the Saturn-Neptune, but because of the transit of Mars. Mars goes into Scorpio January 5th and is there through March 5th, and then goes into Sagittarius. And in April, it retrogrades at a war degree, a degree 8 degrees of Sagittarius conjunct Antares, who's one of the war gods.
Oh, my.
And every time that we have gotten hit, and Saturn is also going to be at that degree the end of November of this year. Now, my take on this is that we're in very real danger of getting sucked into a more active war activity in the Middle East connected to Syria.
Oh, my.
When we say danger on the planet, all things are basically local. I mean, you look at the life, you're leading the life I'm leading, and look at the millions and millions of devastated families pouring out of Syria.
I know.
We look at these people whose lives are a nightmare. We look at so many millions. We have as many refugees as we did in World War II.
I know.
Primarily from Syria, the Middle East, and so that we're already, the planet is experiencing a great deal of trouble and danger and everything. So,
and I keep thinking, you know what? We are responsible for quite a bit of that, too.
Yes, we are. Our government
people don't
has
talk
seen
about that.
Our interests as controlling these oil nations
right.
over in the Middle East for many, many, many years, since the end of World War II. We've been directly involved in overthrowing in coups, both in the Middle East and South America. People that were socialist weren't cooperating with us, wanted to nationalize their oil companies and their mines. And we have, like every other empire, like every other powerful nation on Earth, we've all done essentially the same thing. They're trying to control for their resources these other nations and their fates. And what happens? Blowback. Major blowback. The hot mess over there is so complicated with all of these ethnic civil wars, the Sunnis and the Shia, and now ISIS, the extreme Sunnis. They're all fighting each other over there. And the climate change is just devastating. They have to import their food. They can't water their crops anymore. They have all of these rulers who were kind of vicious dictators, and yet they held things together. And now that, say, Gaddafi has gone from Libya, and now Libya is in basically, it is almost a failed state. Yemen is a failed state. Syria is a failed state. So you have...
It really makes you weep, doesn't it? It's just like...
It really, really does. Now, as far as abroad... thing like a danger on the planet. Well, there's already a multiple of dangers on this planet.
I think people are thinking about huge sections of the world washing away and, you know, that kind of topic.
Well, I don't know that it's going to be that bad.
Okay.
But I will say that what I know about the meltdown in Fukushima in Japan is absolutely everyone's worst nightmare. They have not, that is, you heard of the China Syndrome. Remember that movie back in the 70s? And then Mile Island almost melted down, you know, and we had a very much of a consciousness that maybe we shouldn't be doing nuclear energy. We shouldn't be doing nuclear, that it's too dangerous.
Right.
And what you've got with Fukushima is a massive China, ironically, a China Syndrome meltdown where those bottom rods are unfathomable. They can't get to them. They can't even find them. Hmm. And so they can't fix this.
Oh,
this
gosh.
Is non-fixable. Meanwhile, radioactivity is going to the west coast of the United States and pouring. It's been found in the fish, the seaweed, everything. And now my clients who live in Alaska just informed me that they're tracking the salmon up there are filled with radioactivity.
Wow.
That's come all the way from Japan to Alaska.
Hmm.
And
so how to clean that up? How do we clean that up? I heard ginkgo biloba is a great way to offset it, but you sure need a lot of it.
I wish I had the answer. I haven't read anything anywhere that has an answer to this.
Mm-hmm.
So I have no answer to it. But we have enough disasters going. I don't know. Already, just this week, we're sitting here talking about elections. One of the worst typhoons in history last year hit the Philippines. One almost as bad, just a couple of days ago, hit the Philippines.
Oh, my, really?
These typhoons are getting more and more powerful all the time in these regions. The Philippines, Indonesia, Malaysia, all these island nations in that part of the world, the typhoons, because the warming of the ocean waters, they develop warm spots, and that feeds hurricanes and typhoons. It makes them two or three times as big as they would be.
Oh, my. Oh, my. What was I going to ask you? What do you think of HAARP? Have you heard of HAARP?
Yes. As a matter of fact, in my second book,
okay,
toward the end of the book, I talked about what we would call the chemtrails. The
okay.
HAARP is an agency seeking to combat this global warming and somehow control the weather. And at first, in the old years ago, I thought this was kind of, you know, people were making it up or whatever. And I relate quickly this story that is in my second book, where in October of 2012, my client I go to Boston every year to meet with clients in person. Mm-hmm. And one of my clients took me to a lecture on the part of a government scientist in Lexington, Massachusetts, a lecture attended by all these guys from Harvard and MIT, and all these top scientists were there. And I got to attend this lecture, and this guy stood on the stage, told us, and showed signs that they were geoengineers. And that what they were doing, because of global warming and everything, they were loading up 747s with silica, with material that imitates volcanic ash. Because when a volcano erupts for any length of time, like Mount Pinatubo erupted in the Philippines back in the 1990s and created for 2 years a global cool down.
Oh, wow.
So they are trying to go to dump these things into these jet streams around the world to try to alter climate change. Well,
so that's what the chemtrails are about?
That's what the chemtrails are about.
Oh, my Lord.
I've had several articles that I have quoted on my newsletter that you can archive. They're all in an archive going back. One was an Air Force pilot who was instructed to do this.
My gosh.
And he blew the whistle on them. And he didn't name himself, but he blew the whistle and said, this is what we're doing. And we were told by our commanders that dumping this stuff into the atmosphere was protecting us against our enemies. And none of us believe this. And I want people to know what's happening. But
wow.
I already knew, because this guy fully not only admitted it, he expected us to say, wow, you're really combating global warming. And people were saying, they said, do you realize that this will create major droughts in India, interrupt the monsoon, kill, starve to death millions of people, that you're playing with something you know nothing about? And he said, well, this at least is for the greater good. This may protect more people.
That's what they say about Monsanto. Oh, my gosh.
Well, all I can say is all of us, our jaws dropped. These people were brilliant intellectuals from the highest pinnacle, and they were absolutely mortified by this. And so I heard it. There's things going on. Acts of desperation.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's a plan to kill us or poison.
Kind of a misplace.
It's a act of desperation on the part of our government to try to control the weather and temperatures and do something that simulates volcanoes erupting so that we will cool the planet. That's what's going on there. That was my impression
Lord.
Of it.
Oh, my Lord. That's kind of mind-blowing. It blows your socks off, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Back to they think they're doing – okay, when we think about the food and the water, and the food is being destroyed thanks to Monsanto and other sources. The food is being destroyed, or the deficits in nutrition are really costing a lot of people.
Well, not only that, but it's killing off the pollinators.
Yeah.
The use of Roundup. See, these genetically modified seeds are engineered for one reason, and that's to resist Roundup.
Right.
And Roundup is a weed killer.
I know.
And the weeds that are killing are weeds that are necessary for butterflies and bees to have.
Oh my Lord.
So the bees and butterflies are going extinct, and they're the pollinators. We can hardly have agriculture without them. And not to speak of the toxic nature, if they're spraying all of that stuff with Roundup, we're eating it.
I know.
It's in our diet. You know?
They say it's in babies, it's in breast milk, it's everywhere. But my thing, Linda, and I know that we've already said this isn't so, but I've been watching all this stuff going, are they trying to reduce population? Is that what's going on?
Because I don't think so.
The Monsanto higher people don't eat that food, you know. They have their own.
No, I don't think it's that. What I think it's about is profits.
Okay.
Period. It's not, a lot of people think there's a conspiracy to reduce the population of the planet.
Well, that's what it seems like.
Guys,
eh?
You know. No, it's a conspiracy to make them money. The whole industrialized farming movement makes them huge amounts. They are a farming monopoly. They've taken most small farmers that grew food healthier out of existence. They're fighting the organic farming movement now, the local source or organic farming. They're doing, but I think they're, first of all, Europeans have outlawed all GM products, all GM plants. They've outlawed it. And here, the state of Vermont is trying to outlaw it. They're saying you have to label everything. There is also the not only the GM things, but this antibiotic that for the past 35 years they've been putting into poultry and meat to ward off disease because they're crammed in by the thousands and thousands into cages. And
so
also
sad.
To increase their weight. Hmm. It's deliberately engineered to make them fat. So we have an epidemic of obesity in this country. I've never seen in my lifetime anything like this. So what they're doing in order to make money from these systems, to grow more crops, to produce fatter poultry and meat and everything, is costing us our health.
Mm-hmm.
And people are finally waking up to this.
Mm-hmm.
It is something they're not as blind to it anymore as they were even 5-10 years ago.
There's a wonderful series that just came out. It's a video series called The Truth About Cancer. And it's not just about cancer, but it's talking about the whole food market. And it gives you options, just like you have living in Ithaca in that conscious community. There's options all the way through it. Here's what you can do. Here's what you can do. I just recommend everybody watch it. You'd probably like it too, I find.
Yes, I would like it.
It's not depressing, Linda.
We've got to relocalize. We've got to recognize it. Bernie Sanders, for instance, says he's a democratic socialist. He believes in free enterprise. Mm-hmm. He believes in small to medium-sized businesses. He believes, as I do, that when you have gigantic, huge corporations, they become like monarchies, and they take over and rule the world and choke the rest of us to death.
Right.
And big is that monopoly. We're in a series of oligarchies and monopolies today. And this removes democracy or any thought of self-governance or self-determination from our lives. And
I don't think there's much democracy right now. I think we're being bought, always paid
people
for.
People are being bought out. Again, we worship mechanistic materialism has been our God. No matter how many people talk about the Bible or whatever religion they are, mechanistic materialism has ruled the Western countries, and particularly the United States. And until we get out of that, until we expand our consciousness into something higher and greater. The other thing is, Veronica, I think on a practical level, we need to relocalize. We need to pay attention to our communities. How can we help each other? How can people and animals and everything survive through cooperation as opposed to competition?
That's
and
true.
Everything in our culture is geared toward, they turn it into a competition. There are even all these food shows now where people are competing against one another to make pancakes or muffins in ruthless competitions. Everything is like a football game in our society. The worship of competition. Now, a certain amount of that can be healthy under certain circumstances. People competing in sports and the Olympics, you know. But basically, we should have an economy of cooperation where I make something you need and you make something that I need. So we trade with each other. We help each other out.
It's more like a farmer's market used to be, right?
Yes. That we had locally grown organic produce and working together to make that happen so we all benefit from it. Local entrepreneurship, helping each other with this. Dedicating ourselves to cooperating with each other, to bringing an economy that works into our local regions as opposed to waiting for some giant transnational corporation to come in and save us.
And the problem with waiting for the giant transnational corporation is we get numb in the head and we're not creative. And when the way you're talking about sharing and cooperating, that takes a lot of creativity and a lot of enjoy, a lot of social stuff. Hey?
You're so right, Veronica. I couldn't agree with you more on this because our creativity comes from that way of being.
I know. And so, like, what about what about transportation? What about war? Do you see? I know that you're not a psychic, but you certainly are perceptive and forward-thinking, fast-forward-thinking, as your book would say. Do you see that wars are going to be inevitable, that there's nothing we can do? What do you see?
Well, wars are certainly going on now. And as I see it, a lot depends on, because there are people who just know no other way of life.
Right.
They have their religion and their philosophy of life and their locale are all tied up in this ancient tribal warfare that hasn't changed in 2,000 years. And there are segments of the poem, when you have failed states, when the environment is deteriorating and you can't grow your food, when all of these things, people they have a tendency to go to war with each other. They have a tendency to go crazy, basically. So that tendency is there among many, many, many human beings. And then there are those who say, we want to be something else. We don't want this anymore. This is a terrible thing. We feel we can have a wonderful civilization on this planet living cooperative together and solving the problems that lie ahead. And it's going to be which type of person will eventually win out here.
Do you think Bernie will get in? Like, I kind of laugh and go, well, I wonder if just having our hopes pinned on someone who tells the truth is just part of the illusion, the Neptunian thing. Do you think he would get in, or do you think it's just...
I think at the very least, he is educating the American public. He's already done a huge amount. Whether he actually becomes the president or even the nominee, I'm not sure about that.
And we have Elizabeth Warren in there, too, who's doing some
He's a very close friend of Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
If he became president, believe me, Elizabeth Warren would be his partner in all of this. I don't know. The Hillary machine is very, very powerful.
Yes.
And it works because what happens is that people who vote in the primaries within the realm of this umbrella, these organizations get local people to come and vote. You can take polls. But if people say they love Bernie Sanders and they want, if they don't show up, if they aren't registered voters in the primaries, he can't possibly get in. But if they are registered voters and they show up and they vote, they can bring him in.
So that's just a thing to keep talking about, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it is. And we have to mention the phenomenon of Donald Trump, who is way ahead of all the, but he is really part and particle of the disintegration of the Republican Party. That used to be a viable party with some very good people. Not anymore. I mean, it's just disintegrated into a madhouse.
A caricature.
And the right-wing Republicans in the Congress that are stopping all governance from happening and threaten to shut down the budget, and even John Boehner says, I can't take it anymore, I'm getting out of Dodge.
Mm-hmm.
He can't even deal with them. They're all so at war with themselves. And Donald Trump does not hesitate to criticize them, members of his own party.
I know, because he said, we'll just buy the people. That's all we'll do.
He's just been talking about the George W. Bush administration, how 9/11 took place under his watch, which is true.
Mm-hmm.
And then he invaded Iraq, the worst foreign policy decision of all time. And the Republicans cannot stand this guy.
Well, what do you think? Do you think he's intelligent in his insanity?
Yes. There's a lot of things he said that are so off the wall and ridiculous and out and out.
And judgment.
Silly.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a lot of things he's saying that are true.
So if we're living in a Neptunian kind of deception, both these two guys, Bernie and Trump, who I always laugh because Trump is the trick card if you're playing bridge, right?
Yes.
They're there to kind of shake us up, are they not? They're shaking up our thinking.
Yes, but I think they're doing this country, both of them are doing this country a favor. It is not business as usual.
No.
These people are talking about in their own ways, what's the matter with us? And where have we gone? And people are responding because they know they've been shafted.
Yes, they have. Yeah, we have.
And that's my feeling about the Saturn-Neptune square, is people are realizing with the real estate market coming down, the bond market in major trouble, our economy is just, it's one bonfire after another. And the basics, the fundamentals of this economy are terrible.
Hmm. Well, before we end this discussion, I think we better kick in a bit of the how we are all evolving into an exceptional beings. Have you got a little bit to say about that? So we can end with a little bit of light here.
Yes, well, I think that the greater possibility, and I say possibility because there are no absolutes.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, the greater possibility is there will be enough of us who care about life, this wonderful planet, life on this planet and each other, enough of us who open up to the divine presence that is there, that we are all a part of, to awaken to what we really are, that these evolutionary leaps will be made.
I like the word leap. I like the word leap.
Mm-hmm. These leaps, that people are going to see things entirely differently. And I think that that is the great option for humanity that we need to sign up for.
We want
to be a part of this evolutionary leap into living sustainably in cooperation with life on Earth, lovingly with each other. This kind of human being will be so transformative that it's very difficult for us to even know what that kind of person will be. But that's the direction we need to say, I'm taking that option. I'm living my life for this.
And we need to link arms. Linda Sherman, you are wonderful. I just love having you on. Everybody check soothsayer.com, S-O-O-T-H-E, sayer.com. And Linda's two books that are really... they're short, but they're poignant. Fast Forward and What Next will give you kind of, I was going to say glimpses, deep glimpses into what's going on and where you and I can make a difference. Thank you so much for being a paradigm shifter, Linda.
Thank you so much, Veronica, for having me.
Oh, it's always a joy.